We are in life sketch or sketches from the life of Paul, and page 53. We're starting at the last paragraph, but I kind of want to start at the top of the page because it kind of works. I know it. Pick it up from where we kind of left off. Oh no, that's right. Yeah, the last paragraph. So, no, I actually said it was going to be the second paragraph. Oh, no, it is the last paragraph. Okay, yeah, so it does start a different topic. So, yeah, last paragraph, page 53 of Sketches from the Life of Paul. And if you're listening to WTPR and you're on the WTPR page, I put the link on there. And it's like right above... Wait, let me stop the echo. On the main link, the one I'm paying for, that's the top one. That's got the most stable connection is the top one with that little player built into it there. Yeah, you can't get the player unless you pay for it. And that's a monthly thing. But it's, yeah, nothing. It's like $6.50. But, yeah, right above that, it says click here for Friday night read-along. And so if you click that, scroll down. Let me just make sure it jumps you out. Okay, yeah. Yeah, and then this one actually, this browser I'm using, pops it out. And then just scroll down to page 53, go to the last paragraph, and we'll start on the last paragraph here. It says, the unprejudiced Jews and Greeks took the position that the morals and good order of the city would be improved if the apostles were allowed to remain and work there. That's something. You know, these guys had common sense. They're unprejudiced. Upon the occasions when the apostles were brought before the authorities, their defense was so clear and sensible, and the statement which they gave of their doctrine was so calm and comprehensive that a considerable influence was exerted in their favor. And see, I could see this happening with us with the latter rain, you know, when it falls more abundantly, because it's kind of sprinkling now, if you can tell. But the when it starts falling, if you just do a little bit of research, go back in time 2,000 years, and even though as bad as that was to be in the catacombs under Rome, where your life expectancy was anywhere from 6 to 9 months, just dying from rotted bodies that you're breathing in, because a lot of the people, the Christians, they were, you know, they would go into hiding underneath into the catacombs, they would die there. But there were some, rather than die a torturous death, but you know, where's the difference when it comes to, you know, breathing in all that garbage? But there are many instances, and I believe it's in historic record. I have read some over the years ago, where some of the Roman soldiers, like these unprejudiced Jews, sought for what it was. You know, especially in Nero's day, there were some guys. I mean, literally, some of the soldiers were killed by Nero because they refused to do what he said, and he just killed them on the spot. Would have one of his other soldiers kill them on the spot, no doubt. And so, but there were men that, I mean, come on, everybody's human. Not everybody's going to have that demon seed, and so eventually, someone's going to step up and say, "Okay, this is just nuts." I mean, this is why you see the nurses crying in regards to these hospitals with, you know, they're intubating people, you know, on ventilators where they don't need to be, because the hospital is going to get $39,000 if they do it, and the hospital is going to get $13,000 if they diagnose the person with COVID, even if they don't have it. Yeah, and so that's why some of these nurses came out public and started crying on camera and saying this is crazy. And those doctors that had, I think, over 2 million views on YouTube, proving that the masks and locking people down is exactly how you can get people sicker. You know, locking down, I mean, come on, quarantining healthy people? Yeah, so you can get them sicker. But then as that was dying down, you know, like all the hype was dying down on that, guess what happens next? You know, the riots. And the riots are all bust in, you know that. Even Rush Limbaugh stated that on the radio the other day, that he knows they were bust in. These people, Antifa and all that stuff, they're being paid for. And so what we're looking at is what the Christians looked at 2,000 years ago, in a different way, of course, but eventually it's going to get so bad. If you think about, like, some of these articles that are coming out, and I'm putting them on the blog underneath, you know, I don't do a blog entry every single day like I used to, and I don't even do them 3 times a week like I used to, because I'm not going to make a blog entry just for the sake of filler, you know. I'm gonna share something if I've got something to share. I'm not gonna fabricate. I'm not gonna gild the lily, and I'm not gonna repeat something. See, that's a lot of people says, "Well, why did you do something about son-in-laws?" Well, because I beat that to death. Go to my son-in-law page, and I've got a lot of blog entries on it. And I got to the point where redundancy was just driving me nuts, because the same thing keeps happening over and over and over and over again. Now, yeah, there are times that I'll repeat it, but only after, you know, it died down for a year or two, and then all of a sudden they did it again. And well, yeah, then I'll repeat it, because now they're, you know, flexing up again. But it's just ridiculous as to what we're all seeing, and we know what we're looking at, and it's just going to get a lot worse. But they're doing everything they can. Some of the articles in regards to how blaming, you know, they're blaming Christians for a lot of this stuff. The narrative is starting. Well, it's already started. We know that. But it's going off the chart where a lot of the Christians are the problem. This is the reason for all this stuff is the Christians. They're going to figure out every way possible to say that if it wasn't for the Christians, things would be a lot better in this area, that area, or whatever. And they've already started it with the climate change thing, because that's the end all of what they're headed for. That's what they're working towards. They are going to do the climate change thing. We know this. We don't even have to prophesy it. We know everybody that studies prophecy knows this is going to happen. And so they have to put it out there and blame the Christians. And that's why they were saying something about climate change. Oh, I got like 10 articles on this over the last, say, 2 years, where they're saying the climate change is getting worse, and the politicians aren't doing anything about it because of the Christians. Yeah, literally, that's their narrative. They're out there saying if it wasn't for the Christians, a lot more people would believe the science, even though they only got 100 scientists on their side, and the Christians, we have over 40,000 scientists saying that this climate change thing isn't what they're saying. It's not global warming. It's just the normal recycling. It's not an El Nino either, because they keep changing that. Man, I remember the first time I came across that one. Every 11 years. Well, wait a second. You know, at the time, first time I noticed that, I was 44 years old. I think, what do you mean every 11 years? That means it happened 4 times in my lifetime. No. And then a couple years after that, they started saying every 4 years. Or no, every 7 years. Then every 4 years. I said, come on, get your story straight. It's kind of like the guy stacking bricks, you know. Hey, use these. But yeah, it's just, they're out there saying it's because the Christians don't believe it, that the politicians aren't going to do anything about it, and nothing's going to change. The scientists are on the Christian side and all this other stuff. And so whatever way they can figure out a way to blame us, that's what they're going to go for. And so we're ready for that. And so it's nice to see, like what we see here in what happened with Paul, with the unprejudiced Jews and the Greeks, they got on his side. But even sometimes there, it doesn't matter much. I don't know if you saw the one video where the white guys are screaming out of the window, "We're on your side," and the guys on the street below are still throwing the bricks at them anyway. You know, they're saying we're on your side. So then why be on their side now? If they're going to destroy your own business. And they were on the third floor, throwing their bricks right through their office windows. Anyway, going on, it says, the doctrine they preached gained great publicity and was brought before a much larger number of unprejudiced hearers than ever before in that place. This is where we got to work towards, brothers and sisters. We got to literally get serious about this in the coming. We got to do it now. You know, if we wait for the latter rain, it's kind of like, you know, those two farmers that were told after they went to a prophet, let's say. It's a story that I've heard. I don't know how true it is or whatever, but where they came to a man of God and asked him to pray that we would receive rain, and he says, yes, the Lord has revealed unto me that you will receive the rain soon, you know, for your crops. And both farmers went home, but the one farmer went home and just sat back and kicked, you know, just waited on the rain. The other guy went out there and started tilling his field because he knew the rain was coming. That's what we got to do. We got to get to start, shipping the books, putting the books out there, putting the tracts into people's hands. But if we don't do it, guess what? The Lord's going to pick somebody else. Somebody else is going to do it. I got a bunch of books here. I'm expecting another box. You know, the guy that's on the videos of Vern Bates, that big guy, John, that was sitting next to him, recording, the bald guy, he died, right? And his family's all Catholic. And Mary Beth called me the other day and says, you want the books that he had, because Vern, you know, the original originals, you know, the old hardcovers and all that other stuff, whenever Vern would get a duplicate, he would store it. And then years later, when he met John, he gave them all to John. But John's family doesn't want the books because they're all Catholic. And so she's shipping them here. Along with, well, I don't know if she's shipping the other ones here either, though, but I got a box filled of testimonies that we're going to be handing out for free. She gave them to me for free because she's getting the one, the better version of the testimonies to where the all the books are inside there. And, you know, instead of just having, I think it was instead of having 1 to 10, you'll have the 1 to 11 thing. Because that's what Vern wanted to do, but then he died before he can get it done. That's what she's working on. So she gave me all the other ones, and we can just give them out for free. And if anybody, you know, wants to do it, just let me know. I think there's like 80 books, though. It's not that much. I'm thinking of just mailing them out, random addresses. But seriously, brothers and sisters, pray and ask the Lord what He would have you do. And just start doing something that you think will help. You know, start tilling the field before the rain comes. Otherwise, you're not going to get the rain. So that's the difference here. You know, if you're not doing the work, He's not going to be able to trust you to do the work. Because I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs. I'm trying to figure out, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I want to do this, I want to do that, but I can't do this and I can't do that. I'm just one man. I can't do all of this. Well, I could, but I'll probably die in 2 years doing it. And I'm not ready to push up daisies yet. So anyway, going on. The Jews perceived that their efforts to thwart the work of the apostles were unavailing and only resulted in adding greater numbers to the new faith. Let me reread that. The Jews perceived that their efforts to thwart the work of the apostles were unavailing and only resulted in adding greater numbers to the new faith. You know, that reminds me of the Inquisition. I know, like, boy, does that a breakneck turn, huh? But no, listen to me on this. Because I read up about this in years ago, right after leaving the Catholic Church. I saw why Rome stopped killing people. Well, you know, you had the political pressure from Napoleon, you know, in the late 1700s. And so they eventually had to calm down on the killing so that they could focus a little better on trying to get Napoleon killed. But, of course, we all know what happened in 1798, you know. The wound was administered just exactly in the year that the prophet Daniel said it would be, 1,260 years after the Vatican had their church and state power and Napoleon took them out. And so the thing here is when they were doing the Inquisition, they noticed that, especially if they did it in towns where they had control over the town, because not all the towns were 100% Roman Catholic, right? Even though it was part of society back then, you know, the Dark Ages where they had control over the Bible and no one could read it but them, and then they would translate it into Latin, so if you got one in your hands, you couldn't understand what you're reading anyway. And so they would kill the people in the town square, you know, burn them at the stake or draw and quarter or whatever disgusting way that they could figure out to kill them. Or put them on the rack and then cut their gut and just start ripping out. I'm not going to say stuff. There might be kids listening. So anyway, they realized that for every Christian they killed, 5 to 10 more popped up. And it started getting more difficult for them to control it because when they killed a Christian, more Christians came. And why is that? Well, it's similar to how I found Christ. No, I didn't see anybody tortured to death and decided, oh, well, they got me to go, you know, check out Christianity. What I saw were people in intense situations who had recently converted to Christianity, 100%, even though they claimed to be Christians beforehand. They were the Isaiah 4:1 types. And so I'm watching them. And I wanted to see if Christianity was real. I was like 27, 26, something like that, right before I started reading the Bible. And I watched them. And I knew the one guy was looking at some hard time behind bars because I was too. I had a different crime. He didn't. He was a, you know, almost 7 foot, 6.5 foot biker. He got busted for dealing heroin. He's my brother-in-law. And so he, was looking at a hard time, but he didn't smile on his face, no problem. He had perfect peace in Christ. I wanted to meet his Jesus. That's what got me to open that Bible. As well as, you know, the Baptists kept coming up to me telling me, you're going to hell because you're a Catholic. And they always had a Bible in their hand. So I figured, well, I can read. I'm going to prove you wrong. Within 18 months, I found out they were telling me the truth. Well, same thing with the Inquisition. You see someone burning at Huss. As he's burning in front of all those people, he is singing hymns while his body's on fire. That's going to cut your heart. That's going to, you're going to get to the point where I want to meet his God, because that's real. Not like these wood, hay, and stubble gods, you know, these Allahs that are just statues. See, a lot of the Muslims don't even know that. Okay, what's going on with the stream? I just saw it jump in and out. That was weird. All right, you're all still on the stream, right? All right. Anyway, that was real. It's a reality. They, you know, it's obvious that. Okay, good. Thanks, Brother Gilbert. So it's obvious that God's hand is moving. And when I saw what I saw with my brother-in-law, and then I saw what I saw with my coworker when I was selling insurance at the time too, I says, "Yeah, I got to get into this Bible because that's real. This ain't the wood stain Hubble stuff." You know, people kneeling in front of, or like when I was a little kid and I saw that family start bawling their eyes out when the doctor said all you can do is pray. And it didn't dawn on me until I became a Christian 20 years later that the reason they were crying is because prayer, that's a joke. So they all start crying their eyes out, figuring, yeah, their loved one's going to die. So they ain't going to make it through the night. All you can do is pray. Well, why pray? Because it never worked for us in the past. That's Christendom. Or churchianity, however you want to call it, you know, or preachertainment. But anyway, let's move on. The rage of the Jews was worked up to such a pitch on this account that they determined to compass their ends in some manner. They stirred up the worst passions of the ignorant, noisy mob, creating a tumult, which they attributed to the efforts of the apostles. Does that sound familiar or what? The exact same demons are busy today. And I mean, first of all, you got the Sanballat of Nehemiah's day, right? Pushing out the bogus stones to slow the work, to rebuild the wall. We've seen Sanballat attacking us for decades. This is why we got our own servers in my house now, because every time we were on public servers, hacks and attacks like crazy, right? And they're always sitting there making complaints and causing all sorts of issues for us. So the Lord bless us with our own server, right? That's Sanballat doing it again. But now, look at the riots. You know where I'm going with this, right? Everybody knows the majority of the people in the riots are peaceful. But Antifa comes in. Now, I saw this with the WTO. It was World Trade Organization, but I'm not talking about the Twin Towers. It was in Clinton's day, in his administration. And I was involved years previous. I was doing that programming and networking for that one Baptist preacher. I was a Sunday keeper at the time. And he showed me a video. And this is the first time I ever saw this. No one else saw the video because he had connections with the FBI because he used to be a mob guy, right? And so he says, "This isn't going public, but I want to show you this." And so he shows me the video and says, "Okay, there's this riot going on. This is what's happening right now in Minneapolis. This is what's happening right now in Chicago and New York and Texas and everywhere else that they're having the riots. This is the exact same thing that's happening now that I saw in that video decades ago." And this is what Sister White's talking Sister White's talking about here in regards to how it went down in Paul's day. They stirred up the worst passions of the ignorant, noisy mob. And then they said it was the apostles' fault. Right? Like Nero did. He burned down his own building and says the Christians did it. Hitler burned down the Reichstag building and said the Jews did it. Well, they're doing the same thing now. Same demon. The exact same demon. Because it works. That's why I repeat. It's just like with the lie about, well, when Jesus comes back, 1,000 years of peace. Same thing 2,000 years ago. That's how the Jews missed the reality of who Jesus was as Messiah. They were expecting some big muscle-bound guy with an AR-15 or something. But no. They got the timing right, but they got the actual event wrong. He doesn't come as conqueror, and he's not going to need an AR-15, obviously, but he comes as conqueror at the end of the 2,000 years. But they're right out there now, like I said a few minutes ago, that Rush Limbaugh even said this on the radio, and the only reason I know it is because there was an article about him saying it. I haven't had a chance to listen to him lately. But they are literally, like in that video, let me just explain that video. And again, this was many, many years ago, before anybody knew that anything like this was possible or anybody would have the means by which to do this. But the video was showing a protest. It was at night. and a bunch of people just, you know, walking down the street peacefully, kind of like the way Martin Luther King used to do it, just walking down the street peacefully and just saying things, you know, or down with this, down with that, right? You know, same thing, right? Like they always do. And then the camera kind of pans off to the left, and you see a bunch of these guys coming out of this building about a half a block down the road, all dressed in black. And there's only like 20 of them. They rush into the crowd. They start knocking over, they used to have those little telephone booths back. You remember the telephone booths, for those of you that are older than dirt. But there was all sorts of things that they, you know, throwing bricks through the windows, pushing people around, swearing, and starting a car on fire, all that stuff. And then the people, they show this on the camera, the people in the crowd run up to the police officers that are surrounding them in their line. You know how they got that line, you can't go past here, kind of a thing. So they're all there in that line, and they're telling the cops, these guys aren't with us. Stop them, stop them. And all the cops are doing is standing there with their arms folded for 45 minutes. And so when they destroyed enough buildings, then the cops... somebody did some kind of a signal. I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden you see all the guys dressed in black leave, go back into the building, and then the cops came in and arrested everybody in the crowd that was peaceful. That's what's going on in Minneapolis. That's what's going on in New York. That's what's going on everywhere. It's all paid for, bought and paid for. Remember that video that YouTube pulled on me where they show that one guy is driving down the road in his car, videotaping with his cell phone, obviously, but... these buses that are all parked on the side of the road with KKK and black, you know, BLM guys, all on the same buses that were bought and paid for by George Soros, bringing them in to create a riot, a bought and paid for riot, you know, so they can do what they got to do. Well, same thing that Paul had to deal with in his day, we're dealing with now. So we have to be. History repeats itself. Yeah, we know that, but not 100%. Especially prophecy doesn't repeat itself. And so some of those SDA pastors last year that made some statements about certain things repeating and that, oops, it didn't happen. Praise the Lord that those of us that have eyes to see not only saw it, but outed them, because you got to out them. You got to let the people know, this guy's a false prophet. You start setting dates, he's a false prophet. You know, warn the people. You got wolves on your pulpit. Get out of there. Jesus said what he said. He's not kidding what he said in Revelation 18. Any aspect of Babylonian embracement is apostasy. You know, any part of apostasy is Babylon. People say, I'm calling the SDA Church Babylon. No. I said, she's a daughter of the harlot. Yeah. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is paying tithes to the Pope. And I got the video with the letterhead and the documentation and all the cash all written off and right there on camera for anybody to see it. Got quite a few hits, praise his name. And that's another thing. Isn't that strange? Those videos will get the hits. But certain other videos, like the videos I've been putting up about like the COVID falderall or these riots and all this other stuff, some of them you can't even find in my own search. I just did it again yesterday looking for another video, and I couldn't find it in my own. I had to go to my website to find my own video on my own YouTube channel because I'm being shadow banned by YouTube. I can, like now, I got over 30,000 subscribers. Whoop-de-doo. It's all I can do to get 1,000 people to watch the videos. It's kind of like, it gets you to a point where you want to stop making the videos. Where's the sense? But 1,000 people, still 1,000 people. There might be a Paul in there or a Martin Luther, you know, from the sixth hour, Martin Luther, the ex-Catholic priest. So going on, it says, they then prepared. Now this is, you know, let me backtrack a little bit. They attributed the efforts, you know, all the yelling and screaming. They got the mob all riled up and then said, the apostles did it, right? They then prepared to make a false charge of telling force and to gain the help of the magistrates in carrying out their purpose. They determined that the apostles should have no opportunity to vindicate themselves, but that the mob power should interfere and put a stop to their labors by stoning them to death. You know, judge, jury, and executioner right there. You know, kind of like we did to the Lord. You know, that was an illegal trial to begin with. We all know that. You know, oh, we can't kill, and our, you know, so they get the Romans to do it. You still killed them. Doesn't mean you're innocent. Anyway, going on, it says, friends of the apostles, although unbelievers, warned them of the designs of the malicious Jews and urged them not to expose themselves uselessly to their fury, but to escape for their lives. And a lot of people says, oh, that's kind of wimpy. Really? Well, then explain to me why the Lord didn't have any problem whatsoever disappearing twice before the crowds that wanted to stone him or flip, you know, throw him off a cliff, or Paul being let down in a basket on the outside of the city on a wall. You know, if you got the opportunity to escape danger when you know it's absolute, get out of there. You know, this is what we've been saying for decades, get out of the cities. Now I don't think we have to explain anymore to people why you have to get out of the cities. All right? And we're not about I told you so garbage. That's just, you know, that's vindictive. You know, that's just kind of, you know, saying, that's being mean. You know, some people just wait, you know, until they see a door open or close. And now it's like, wow, pretty obvious. So going on, it says, they accordingly departed from Iconium in secret and left the faithful and opposing parties to battle for themselves, trusting God to give the victory to the doctrine of Christ. Because we know truth never hits the floor. It's the lies that always end up underfoot. I mean, think about that. You could read the Bible, become a Christian, and then decided to, you know, stop reading it, and 20 years later pick up the Bible, same truth, never changes. You know, it's not like the Muslims where they pick up the Quran and they go, they find something in the later books of Surah and they go, wow, that's completely different from what I read in the early books of Surah. And so their theology is, because the Vatican wrote the Quran, as a matter of fact, we got proof now, you even have a Muslim saying on camera, it's on my Chrislam page on the website. But their theology is such that if the newer version of the Quran contradicts the older, well, then the newer version is where you follow. Well, of course, because that's the narrative. It's just that's how Rome built their dogma. You know, that's how they got their dogmatic mountain. If you look, that's why I got the unholy popes of Rome with a newsletter I did decades ago. It's still on the site. And what I show is how they would introduce a doctrine, or dogma as they call it. And if the people rebelled against it, they would just, you know, put it on the back burner for a decade, for a generation, maybe even a century or two or three. They had to wait until the people were sufficiently watered down in their faith to be able to embrace something as idiotic as they're about to embrace. So that could take some time, right? I mean, look at the 501c, the 501c3. Lyndon Johnson set it up in 1954 as a bill. It wasn't until December 2nd, 2017 that Trump made it absolute law that the preachers that have the 501c3 who join their church with the state or the second beast of Revelation, and all the SDA preachers did it. Doug Batchelor has three of them. They have the ability to lobby religious law now, legally. You know, and that's why I put the video up 6 months before Trump got elected, when he kept saying, we're going to get rid of the 501c3. No, you're not. It's not. You can't change Christian prophecy. You're not God. It's not going to happen. And sure enough, he didn't. That's all he could do is give it teeth, and that's what he did. And now he made it to where, because what Bush did in 2006 on March 7th, which happens to be the exact same day of 321 AD when the first Sunday laws were set up, but when Bush did what he did on March 7th in 2006, giving the executive order to the 501c3, that was more or less prophecy fulfilled. You could actually say 1954 was prophecy fulfilled, because now it's on paper. Because that's how I put it out there. Hey, if it's on paper, then it's prophecy fulfilled. You ain't got to wait. You know, because you know it's already on paper. And so he did that, but you got, you know, the wolves on the pulpits that are all about the money, you know, like what the Bible calls them, the preachers of filthy lucre. They're fearful because they have no faith. Fear comes from Satan. See, this is why there's so much of it out there. And these pastors were fearful that the IRS was going to get all up in their face about preaching politically from their pulpits, because even Bush himself had spies coming into the churches. I did a radio thing on that twice or three times about him literally having spies in the churches to see if the pastor would say anything during election year about any candidate from the pulpit because of the 501c3. He says, you're going to lose your tax-free status, right? So he changed it around for some silly reason. Obviously, he was approached by the Pope to let them go forward in that way. And then Trump made it absolute law on December 2nd, as we know. So prophecy is literally, overwhelmingly fulfilled. The image of the beast has now been given its life. And so, but again, no one's going to understand it. But this is why these pastors keep missing these things. If you can't understand prophecy unless you obey the guy that wrote it. And so they, well, let me just, I don't want to go way off because we're getting late now, but let me continue on. It says, but they no means took a final leave of Iconium. They purposed, or they proposed rather, to return after the excitement then raging had abated and complete the work they had begun. I mean, there's faith right there. You're trusting the Lord there, knowing that the Lord's going to step up. It's just like we can do the same thing. You know, it's just like when Trump was saying what he was saying about the 501c3. You can have faith saying, no, you're not going to change it, sir. It's rock-hard prophecy. It's just like when David Gates from the SDA Church got up there and said, there's going to be a 1,260-day period of time, and then they're going to start enforcing the mark on March, I think it was March 17, 2016. And he didn't say March, he didn't say the exact date, but he did say 1,260 days from when the Pope stepped up in front of Congress. And then I says, well, you just set a date. And everybody's saying, oh, no, we didn't, no, we didn't. But I kept putting the videos up, and sure enough, it didn't happen. You know, we kept putting the videos up before his dates were being set. But they can't. That's Vatican theology, giving a day for a day instead of a day for a year, as the prophecy says. So, but yeah, this is just amazing how, you know, walking away and just trusting the Lord to do what he promised. I mean, just the way we saw it go down with the 501c3, we know it's going to go down with everything else, lateral rain, loud cry, the mark, all of it, it's all going to happen exactly as he said. And then Sister White talking about the Civil War and the empty store shelves, it's all going to happen. That's why I got a page on the website all about those prophetic statements that she made that were supposed to happen after she died. You know, just to stop the people out there, you know, I mean, that's another thing too. That's why I put the bogus Bibles page up. I found this out back when I was a Sunday keeper. Why there was 2,000 or more verses missing and another 2,000 or more verses changed in the NIV as via the King James. And the only reason I found that out is because when I found Christ, I started going to a Sunday keeping church that was heavy in the Word. It was Baptist, but they didn't get into the once saved, always saved thing. And that's why I decided I'm going to sit there. But what got me is every time I went to church, and I went Sunday twice and then Wednesday for study, right? But every time the pastor would speak from the King James, I'd have to mark something off on the NIV, say, okay, that verse ain't here. Or, boy, it certainly doesn't say it the way you just said it. And then after a while, I put down the NIV, and then he approached me and told me that his daughter was having a hard time with the giving up her NIV. And he asked me to preach a sermon on it because he saw I did a study on it. And I says, no problem, but you're going to have to get the Bibles. Get everybody in here on this Wednesday or whatever, and have everybody come in. And I want every person is going to have two Bibles, a King James and an NIV. And sure enough, that's what we did. And I just told them, okay, everybody go to Acts chapter 8, verse 37. I know that's the first one. You can do that in the King James, no problem. You can't do it in the NIV, though. It's not there. Even the number's missing. Why? Well, that's where Philip is told by, or Philip tells the eunuch, the only way I'm baptizing you is if you acknowledge Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And then he does. Well, an infant can't do that. So Rome removed that verse. And then there was a few, that was like 45 minutes. It's my bogus Bibles page now on the website, how I did that. I went from the top. I mean, this is why people believe in life after death immediately, or eternal life in hellfire, 7-year trip, secret rapture. All the verses that they removed from the King James and put them in the NIVs or the other bogus Bibles sets up the narrative for all these false prophecies that hide or protect the man of sin. I mean, come on. I mean, the putting the Antichrist at the end of the world instead of, as like the Apostle John said that 2,000 years ago, the Antichrist was all, his spirit was already churning back then. Because if you make it look like he's at the end of the world, well, then the Inquisition, where 500 million Christians were killed, isn't really a prophetic event, which means Jesus missed a big one. No, he didn't. Jesus mentioned that as the Great Tribulation in Matthew 24. But they say, oh, no, that's later. No, no, no. Later is the time of Jacob's trouble. But if they don't study prophecy, well, then, and if the verses are, if those particular verses are missing, well, then, yeah, they're not going to get it. They're just, you know, they got the wrong Bible in hand. But still, you can find Jesus in any one of the... I found Jesus Christ in a Douay-Rheims. I found Jesus Christ in a Roman Catholic Bible. That's what got me out of the Roman Catholic Church. So, all right, let me just go one more paragraph. And then, because next week, it'll on page 55, it starts a new topic. All right, so those who observe and teach the binding claims of God's law frequently receive, in a degree, similar treatment to that of the apostles at Iconium. Yeah, and boy, do we ever use Titus chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 on a regular basis on that. How about it? I mean, you give them one or two chances, and then you got to walk away and treat them as the heathen. But you don't have to be a jerk about it. You know, you don't have to be mean about it. You just got to, you know, be kind and gentle and loving and let someone else be sent by the Lord. Because if you keep on throwing verses at this person, I found that out the hard way. But it was a good topical study for about 2 years. Because I didn't know any better. I was a green Christian, still Sunday keeping, and this guy had all these questions. And boy, I tell you, it was like I was flying high. You always had a different question in regards to you know, this, that, or whatever. Why is it this way or why is it that way in the Bible? And his Lutheran pastor kept on feeding him falderal as if it was doctrine. And so he would ask me about it two or three times a week. This went on for years. And then at the end of it all, I finally got to a point where I understood Titus 3, you know, in regards to walking away. So, because the Lord says, I was more listening to prayer. I says, why is it this is all I'm doing? Is this just what I'm at? No one else is, and the thought comes to mind, well, it's because you're wasting all your time on one guy. You know, you plant the seeds that I give you to plant, and then move on. Let someone else do the watering. I'll handle the increase. Because that's how it says in the scripture. It's how it goes down, right? But if you keep wasting your time on the same person over and over and over again, the next person that the Lord sends you away, you miss him. You don't even know he's been sent because you're busy dealing with this other guy that just doesn't want to hear it. But I still praise God for it because, boy, did I... Oh, man, that's where I cut my teeth. I mean, that's where I, you know, all that Bible study, it was just to help him out. And it was an amazing couple of years. Anyway, finishing, it says, they often meet a bitter opposition from ministers and people who persistently refuse the light of God, who, by misrepresentation and falsehood, close every door by which the messenger of truth might have access to the people. And that's what they did. This is like the Sam Ballots of old. These Jews attacking the ones that weren't having an issue with what Paul was preaching. And we're seeing it in today's world. And this is what's been going on. And that in itself, this is what gets me with, and I praise God for this because we've had three atheists have joined our number. Well, at different times, of course, they never met each other either. But they all had the exact same reason. It's because we teach it the way it is preached. Are written. We don't gild the lily. We don't use bogus Bibles. And you know, we have all the verses we need. And the way the doors are easily closed in the minds of the people is by the indoctrination or brainwashing, if you will, by parents, loved ones, siblings, pastors, preachers, wolves, obviously. To make them think in a different manner or preach another Jesus. This is why when Antichrist gets on planet Earth, very shortly, you know, right after we start getting very loud to really tell the people in regards to what the mark is, and then all of a sudden the church pew starts emptying, this is why you got the social distancing. They figure, because Satan knows the prophecies better than we do. I mean, think about it. How easy is it going to be to see 5,000 people saved and embrace the truth? Like, say you go to some big public event, how loud are you going to be able to talk to everybody who's standing 6 feet apart? That's not going to work out. It can't. Just like with Trump with the 501c3, it's not going to happen. Prophecy's going to be fulfilled. We're going to be able to talk to those people. Somehow, some way, they're going to move in. They're not going to stand 6 feet apart or whatever the case may be. You know, it's going to happen. And we got to be ready for it. But there's so many ways out there to get the people not to want to hear us. The distractions are immense today. Everything from your cell phone in your pocket to that pretty girl down the road. I mean, it's just whatever the devil's going to use, he's going to use it. And so I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. If you kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very, very much for your presence. And Father, forgive me for when I get a little excited at times and, you know, speak off the cuff a little bit too friendly, if you will. Sometimes it sounds comical. I'm sorry I do that. And so thank you for not letting it soil the truth that has been put forth. Thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that are crying out and looking and right on the edge of embracing your Son. Please give us the seeds or even the water, whatever it takes, to help them see. Thank you for forgiving us and blessing us and cleansing us with the latter rain, if we are so worthy. And thank you so much for your word. We could have been just standing out here left in the dark. But now we have your word. And we're going to run with it, Father, with both edges of that sword. Thank you, Father, for the Old and the New Testament, the two witnesses. And thank you for hearing this prayer and blessing us with your presence. In the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.